Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I wait every year for this show. I get so excited about this show. And so here's my first question for you. Have you picked your word for the upcoming year? Or maybe better said, has that word picked you? Every year we have our good friend Jimmy Page on the show to help us discern the word that God might be highlighting in our lives for the road ahead and why it matters. This is such a powerful conversation. And I don't know how many years you've been listening, but years ago on my show, we used to have a call screener. So we took phone calls every day on the show. Can you imagine? Maybe someday we'll get back to doing that every once in a while, but we've got an open text line. And so I'm asking if you've got already got your word, like Melissa, hers is ask, and we'll unpack that a little bit more. Text in. But if you've got questions about how to discern your word, one of the favorite things for me that Jimmy does, I feel like Jimmy, he wouldn't say this about himself, but I feel like he has this prophetic optimism. So once he gets a hold of your word and maybe he hears some of your heart, he can help you really unpack it and even discern. I find so often these words are much bigger than we expect. You know, we might start with a word going, yeah, this is a nice word, but it's multidimensional. And I feel like Jimmy every year comes on the show and helps you see it so that your expectations in God will grow and arise. So here's the number, 877-933-2484. You got to text. Again, someday maybe we'll kick in the phone calls again, but now we're texting, 877-933-2484. But I got to tell you, thanks to Jimmy's ministry, we've got four book bundles. We've got the one, it's a small hardcover book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. And it's an easy read, so it's going to go quick, but it helps you break down your word so you think about it emotionally, physically, vocationally, spiritually. It just helps you discern your word and prepare your heart. But the thing we haven't talked about before is this one-word journal. It's your weekly journal for life change. So it keeps the word before you and compels you to make choices moving towards that word. I just love it. So we've got a handful of book bundles to give away today. So in a separate text, text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I love seeing these words come in. Keep them coming because this show today is supposed to be interactive. We want to hear from as many of you as possible. What's your word for 2024? And if you haven't discerned it, tell us, you know, what you're thinking. What are some thoughts that come to you? And by God's grace, we're going to connect with every one of you and help you find your word. Okay. Quick announcement before we hear from our friend Jimmy Page. My amazing producer, Angela Smith, you hear from her because I get her on the show sometimes and we pray together for you. You probably know this, but she's been hosting the podcast for our Reading the Bible Together initiatives. You know how we do that here? We love the Word of God. Well, I got news for you. The Reading the Bible Together podcast is now a part of our Faith Radio lineup, and her show will be airing on the weekends. So congratulations to Angela, and don't forget to check out our newest show in the lineup. Now, let me tell you about my guest. And buckle up, friends, because he's a fireball. We'll get him on the show. Jimmy Page is the founder and president of the Unstoppable Freedom Alliance, the Be Unstoppable Life and Leadership System, the Joseph Project Network. He's a health and wellness expert, Spartan athlete, I think I'm saying that right, podcaster, and formerly an executive with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He's the author of several books and frequent speaker for conferences and events and sport teams, husband and proud father of four grown kids. He and his wife, Evelise, who's a friend of mine and an absolute power woman in her own right, started a cancer foundation. In fact, she was on my show, Evelise Page, to talk about Believe Big, the amazing organization that they founded, Believe Big, to fight cancer. I've sent more people in their direction. Anyway, they started this foundation together following her victory over cancer. His mission is to inspire you to live an unstoppable life, unleashing your best in every way. Boy, if that doesn't describe Jimmy, I don't know what does. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, Suzy, I'm so glad to be here. Thankful for that great introduction and really mostly just thankful for our friendship and thankful for your ministry. I mean, I think you have a prophetic healing ministry. I really do, in so many different directions, and we're super grateful for you.
Wow, Jimmy, thank you for that so much. And I wish you could see the text line because the Words are coming in. I'm super excited here to get going, but we have to do this every day. We ask the same question. So before we dig into one word, just in your time with the Lord, what's he been talking to you about these days?
Okay, so I'm learning so many different things, right? And I'm hoping we'll be able to wrap up the show with one final thought that I really want to get to. But sometimes we think of verses like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 as so common and familiar that they lose their meaning. And God has been showing me that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, while maybe familiar and maybe simple, it has so much deep meaning, and you have to pay attention to it, and he's really getting my attention with it. And the verse, of course, goes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways," and my version that I love is, "submit to him, and he will make your path straight."
Love it.
I think what God's saying to me is, hey, stop trying to control everything. You know, I've got all my kids are young adults. They're all out of, you know, they're out on their own, except for my daughter who's still in college. Grace is a junior at Liberty University. But, you know, I'm trying to give them my wisdom and give them direction and stuff. But God's saying, listen, don't try and control their future. Instead, trust it to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And stop trying to control everything. Let me, because I've got a great plan for them, I'm going to make their path straight. So that's what I'm learning.
Love it. Someone needed to hear that, I'm sure. So before we even dig into this one word, I have so many questions for you, but I want to tackle this text right away. A bunch are coming in, but I want to speak to this dear one first, because I think you might have something to say to them. I don't know if it's a male or female, but their word is usable because they feel unusable due to their anxiety. I want to pray for you, friend, in just a moment. But Jimmy, what would you say to this dear one?
Oh my gosh. You know, how many people feel this way? First of all, you know, she or he, you're not alone. People feel unusable or unworthy is another way of putting it, because of past mistakes or maybe anxiety for the future or something that they're going through now. They just feel like God can't use them. But I would just suggest that the entire Bible is filled with people who were quote unquote unworthy, damaged, who had made mistakes. We all do. Every single day we make mistakes. That's exactly where God wants you to be so that he can use you most. You know, in our weakness, he shows up strong. So in that position of vulnerability, of feeling like you're not good enough, feeling like you're not usable, that's when God can do the most miraculous things through you, in you, and through you. So I love that word. I mean, I almost wish I had used it. I'm going to steal it next year. But be encouraged. You're in the right position. As long as you're looking to God and you're trusting him to move through the Holy Spirit through you, no matter what you're going through, his power will flow through you.
So good. And friend, I would just, as Jimmy's talking, thinking, isn't that just like the devil to create a narrative in your mind because of a weakness that you're not usable? I mean, in years past, I felt like that because of the unpredictable nature of health challenges. But you know what? I remember the day the Lord said, you don't have to feel well to be powerful in the kingdom. You don't. And that proved true. And so imagine why the enemy is so threatened by you being used. What is his, you know, one greatest goal? If he can't keep you out of heaven, he wants to dismantle you from being used by God. So he's going to tell you you're not usable. But imagine if you could open up and dare to believe you actually are usable, all the different ways God might use you in this year ahead. And so don't you, Jimmy, feel like even that word that God gave them, that to me is a faith step going, I have felt this way, so I'm daring to open myself up to being used by God. I think that's a brave word.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anytime I hear the lies of the devil like that, it emboldens me. It's like, all right, bring it on. Let's go. Oh, I hear you. Oh, you think I'm not usable? You're trying to make me feel less than? Okay, well, we'll see. Let me lean into God's strength. It's a lie that you have to be perfect to be used by God. It's a lie.
Amen.
In fact,
that's right.
The most dramatic lessons are learned, the most radical connections relationally that are made in our weakness. It's when we're vulnerable. It's when we're authentic. People want to know that you're just like them. People want to know that you're not better than them, and they can relate to the stories and the challenges that you're going through.
So good. Okay, I just want to honor as many texts as I can. And again, this is one of those days I wish the show was 2 hours because I know I have 2 hours worth of questions for you. But let's grab this one from this friend. Again, I don't know if this person's anonymous. Says, I really love to have a word from God. It's so hard to discern the difference between God and my own thoughts when it comes to this. How do I know when the word is from God rather than me simply projecting my hopes? What say you?
Oh, it's so good. Well, Susie, you know this, the first few years of me doing it, now I've been doing it 25 years now. The first few years for Dan and I, who came, you know, who kind of adopted this concept, we were picking words that we wanted. You know, it's like, oh yeah, oh, I want warrior. Oh, I want hero, whatever the great word was. And what we finally decided was we created this very simple process, right? Look in, look up, and look out. And I would just recommend go through this process. Looking in is all about taking a look at what you need most, what's preventing you from being your best for God, and journaling that, writing down some thoughts on that. And then looking up is asking God to make sense of what he's revealed to you when you've looked in. Let me make sense of this. Let me see if there's patterns. And then out of that, you'll come down to one or two or maybe three words. And then out of that, I can assure you, there's no wrong answer. There's no wrong answer. You can select one of those words as God works that process through you and know that God is going to use that word in a mighty way. So I just say, surrender your plans to God, ask him to examine your heart as you look in, and then go through the process and trust that God's going to lead you to in the right direction.
So good. Makes me think of something Mark Batterson has said on the show before, where if you're walking intimately with God, you can really actually trust a lot of your desires. Not all of them, but truly, when you're bent towards God, because we tend to think God doesn't want to bless us. He doesn't want us to flourish, but that's a lie. But if there's this inward desire, you know, to flourish in your relationships, you can know that's in line with God, you know, if there's a desire to be used by God and to see a breakthrough. I pray that you'll text in the word book to get in on the drawing, because maybe the book and journal will help you discern. I really believe God has a word for you. So text the word book to 877-933-2484. What was your word last year, Jimmy?
My word last year was execute.
Oh, that's right. I remember the year before was rattle, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're all so unique, right? And I can tell you exactly kind of the things that I learned and some of the challenges I faced because of that.
Tell me about execute. What were some of the challenges? Well, what were the things you learned?
Okay, so I was on a call this morning with a bunch of football coaches in the Pacific Northwest, the state of Washington. Great, great guys. They were all part of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which is a ministry that I've been a part of, worked for, love. And I told them my word was execute, and I gave them this analogy. You may not understand football, but I'll try and make this as easy as possible. The football field, when you have the ball, your job is to drive down the field and put that ball in the end zone, score points. And what I discovered in my life, I was really good at getting the things that God had put a vision in my heart for, getting those tasks and those projects between the 20s. You know, between my 20-yard line and your 20-yard line, you get into this spot called the red zone. The red zone is very challenging to score in, and I had all these loose ends that I wasn't finishing. And God was saying to me, hey, listen, I need you to execute at a higher level. I need you to get the ball into the end zone and put some points on the board. So this was the year of taking the steps necessary to finish, to execute at a high level and get things done. So I learned a lot about the fact that procrastination is the enemy of execution, but action is the antidote to procrastination. So I started taking action in significant ways, very exact action, right? Not just random stuff, but the stuff that was the highest leverage stuff. So it was a great year to get things done.
Wow. And what's your word for 24?
Okay, so this is a Greek word. You know, some people are getting all over me. They're kind of kidding me about this. Well, you've used up all the words in the English language.
So, you're heading over to the Greek. Okay.
Yeah, I got to go Greek this year. The word is arete, and the word arete is a very complex word with significant meaning. A lot of Greek words have, you know, a fullness to them, but it's living up to one's full potential. It's moral virtue and excellence. In some ways, it means showing up as the very best version of myself moment by moment by moment. And here's why I chose it. And, you know, in the book, we always talk about the word's important, but why you chose the word is probably more important. The reason I chose this was I have a desire that when things aren't going my way, when challenges arise, when unexpected adversity comes, that I would respond as the very best representation of Christ in that moment. that I would be my most virtuous self, that I would respond in excellence. Because I started to see the way I was reacting to some challenges. I'm like, man, that's not like me. I don't like that. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to act out of anger or frustration or resentment. Instead, I want to show up as my most virtuous self. So my word for the year is arete.
Very good. Okay, so we're going to break, and we're going to read some of these texts. We're going to get through as many as we can during the show. It's one word today. What is your word for 2024? And maybe we can help you get there. Maybe somebody needs the word shalom. If you look that up, what that means, wholeness, soul, prosperity, relationships, peace, well-being. It's kind of a fullness, maybe, of your whole self. Maybe you've been focusing on just one area of your life, and God wants to bring a shalom peace and wholeness and well-being to you. But what's your word? Text me, 877-933-2484. When we come back, we'll read a bunch of texts, but then we're also going to talk, kind of break it down, talk about how do you discern your word? Do you pick your word? Does your word pick you as far as God in the process? And how do you do this? And how do you live it out? And why this journal matters, because it keeps it in front of you. If you want in on the drawing for the book bundle, Jimmy's book, One Word That Will Change Your Life, and the One Word Journal, text the word book to 877-933-2484. As we go to break, this dear listener says, my word in 24 is connection. More connection with God, more connection with His Word, and more connection with those in my life. That is beautiful. And as you seek to be creatively connected to these dear ones in your life, you can know the enemy's going to try to disrupt that. So as you set your mind on God and you're resolute, I'm going to connect with God and His Word and with His people, I think you're going to see amazing things happen. More with Jimmy Page in a moment. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live, and I'm so excited to tell you about my new book, Waking Up to the Goodness of God, 40 Days Toward Healing and Wholeness. Are you ready for a new you? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are living in a world that's been bracing for impact for the last few years, waiting for the next shoe to drop. But did you know that posture is terrible for your physiology, not to mention your faith? God wants to retrain us, to retrain our thinking and our mind and our hearts, to set our eyes on Him, to move from waiting for the next shoe to drop to anticipating the goodness of God. Thanks to our friends from W Publishing, Faith Radio is giving away 100 copies of my new book, Waking Up to the Goodness of God. I hope you will enter the drawing to win, and I pray that you do win. You can enter to win now at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a fun conversation. I look forward to this particular show every single year when we get Jimmy Page on to help you figure out your one word for the year. Do you have your one word? Mine is more. I want more of God. I want more of Him, more of His time in His presence. I want more time with my family, more rest. I want more breakthroughs for the people that we serve and seek to help. I just want more. Is there anything you'd want to speak to me about regarding that, Jimmy? Any thoughts that come to you?
Well, I think God is a God of abundance, right? And, you know, I think about what Jesus says when He says, I've come to give them life, life to the full, you know, that rich, satisfying, meaningful life. And so often I think, you know, we talked about this even before the show, just talking about kind of skimming along at the surface. And unfortunately, when you don't get a little bit deeper, a little bit beneath the surface, you kind of settle for less. Less in your relationships. A lot of times you're distracted by things, whether it's your phone or device or something else. You miss out on so much. So more connection, more intimacy with your family, more of God, more of His Spirit, more of His power, less anxiety, less worry. You know, when you get more of God, I think of the verse, I think it's John 3:30. You can fact check me on that one. John 3:30, He must become greater and I must become less. That's that process, right? More of God means less of you. Oh my gosh, I want that all day.
That's so good. So good. Okay, Andrew writes in, said, I just learned about this one word thing earlier on Carmen's show, our morning show host. Why do we need this one word? What say you?
Well, I think you need it because focus drives impact. So a lot of times we get so distracted. You know, I'll go back to the premise of the book. Years and years ago, 25 years ago now, Dan and I were doing our New Year's resolutions every year, year in and year out, a couple other guys too in our accountability. And we came up with a game plan for the year of all the things that we were going to get done. And it was a mess. You know, after 30 or 60 days, we had failed completely, of course, because no one, in fact, almost no one keeps their New Year's resolutions. But not only were we not keeping our resolutions, we didn't even know what they were. So what we decided was we need to focus. We need to drive life change through a focused, narrow lens. And by picking one word, by choosing one word for the year that we believe God wants to write his story in us through that word, it narrowed the focus and allowed us to become way more effective, way more productive. And it seemed to have an effect on all aspects of our life. So I like it because you're narrowing the focus. Paul in the scriptures talks about, hey, this is what I do. I do this one thing. I forget the past and I press on towards knowing Christ more and making him known. That's a paraphrase. But the point is he narrowed his focus to knowing Jesus and making him known. This one word focus for us eliminates a lot of the clutter and helps us to experience life change more abundantly than we would if we were distracted with all these long lists.
You know, I think about, Jimmy, as you're talking, is in Scripture says, without a vision, people perish. Without a vision, people cast off restraint. And I get a sense that, you know, to me, the word is like a revelation for the landscape ahead. And that's why I think it's so important to get it from the Lord, because if he says, this is what I want for you, and you keep it in front of you, then you measure up other things that are vying for your attention, and you decide, does that line up with the thing God is asking me to do? And what I love about your process in this short little book, One Word That Will Change Your Life, is you could take this little book on a retreat and just spend some time, or even do a day retreat at home. But consider, like, let's say I took more. What would that look like for my health? What would that look like for my radio show and my relationships? And I got to give you an example from Evalise, Jimmy's wife, who is, she's a female version of Jimmy, let me just say.
A better version, we'll say, too. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a firecracker. I love her so much. So humble, but so high capacity capable. And her word is sunrises. Now listen to this. This shows you why it's worth thinking about deeply. Sunrises is her word. She goes, this is what the Lord told me. It symbolizes the joy of being alive. The sunrise is closely tied to new beginnings, which is why we cherish it. The sunrise brings out the sun and the light, which is vital to our survival. I pray his light shines the brightest this year in my life. Sunrise stands for freedom, the freedom you achieve when you banish all fear and uncertainty from your life. Sunrises symbolize overcoming the challenges in your life, a reminder that the past is firmly behind you and you can look to the future with hope, with great expectation, that your pain is a thing of the past. Wow. The colorful sunrises open your mind to the idea of new baby, stands for birth and growth and a renewed sense of purpose. The rising sun also could mean that you need to revisit a project you'd passed on or paused on and maybe give it another go. I couldn't believe it when I read that, as the Lord had just given me a fresh vision for the Believe Big Institute of Health. That's, you got to look up Believe Big. If you love anybody, know anybody with cancer, point them to Believe Big. And she says, the Bible used the word sunrise to describe God's promise to bring good things into your life when you follow him. And then she references Luke 1:78-79, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet to the way of peace. I mean, that's what can happen, I think, if you really sit with the word and say, Lord, speak to me, and then speak to me some more. I think that's profound.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Well, I admire her so much, you know, and so I'm listening to you say this, and I'm kind of getting a little teary on this end, because I have the bird's eye view every day in the morning of seeing her get up, get in her kind of her quiet time chair in the corner of our living room, and on the back of our house, we've got almost the entire wall is windows, so we get this beautiful sunrise that comes up. It faces east, and that sunrise comes up every day, and in Colorado, the sunrises, generally speaking, are unbelievable. So I get it. And I'm watching her get her time with the Lord and deeply seek God. And that's the type of revelation that she gets. Like, she gets so much clarity because she spends the time she invests it with God. And I would just encourage people to do that. Just even if it's for one morning, 30 minutes, if you're not in the habit of doing that, see what God will do. Show up, ask him to reveal himself, and spend some time there, because that's the kind of depth and insight that God brings.
So good. Okay, I'm going to read a few of these words, and you can just comment if you have any of them. Let's see here. My word for 24 is ask. I have not because I ask not. Ask and you receive. Susie, I plan to ask huge this year, and I expect to hear from him. Praise God. Anything you want to say on that one?
Well, we always taught the kids, don't say no for anybody. Always ask. You know, the idea that, hey, listen, it never hurts to ask. And I think it's different with God because he actually tells you to ask, right? He also tells us that we don't have because we don't ask. You know, we have all these desires. We have all, you know, the desires of our heart, especially when they're in alignment with God's will for our life and with his desires for us. You know, you have to ask the question. Even though God already knows, the exercise, I believe, and I believe it should actually be verbal. This is a whole different show probably, but I think you should verbalize the things that you're asking God for, because I think there's power in the spoken word. You know, we know this to be true, that the words that we speak can be used against us by the enemy, right? So if I'm speaking negativity, if I'm speaking criticism or condemnation or self-condemnation, we know that the enemy can remind us of the words that we've spoken. So we want to be really careful about what we say. But on the contrast, we also want to ask these bold prayers. And I believe we should ask them verbally. We should write them down. But we should ask God out loud so that he can respond. He delights in us coming to him and asking when we have need.
And when you ask specifically, you notice a specific answer. If you ask vaguely, you're not going to notice when it comes. I got to say, I'm going to read a bunch of these texts, but my sister, whom I love dearly, texted in and said, my word for this year is align. I want to align myself physically, emotionally, and spiritually with his will. And if there's anything I'm doing out of alignment, I want him to reveal that to me. And I'm going to let you speak to that, Jimmy. But my first thought is, you know, when your back is out of alignment, you can't carry the normal weight that you can. But when your back is in alignment, you can do so much more than you thought you could. And I feel like that might be even a prophetic invitation for God getting her ready to steward the more that he has for her. But what comes into your mind when you think of alignment?
I was thinking the same thing, but I have an illustration with automobiles. I mean, I've had this actually happen. When your car gets out of alignment, unfortunately, when you drive that car, you increase the wear and tear on that vehicle. You know, things don't drive as smoothly. You get fewer miles to the gallon. It's way more expensive to operate. And that's true of us in life. When we're out of alignment, life gets hard. Life can be hard, period. But if you're in alignment, it's easier. You know, it's like you're yoked with Christ. And because that yoke is light, it's not burdensome. That gives you the capacity to handle more and more. And I think that's what you're after, right? Let's get in alignment with the things of God. And he will direct your steps. He will lighten that load.
Very good. Another word here from this listener is anew. Any thoughts on that one?
Well, I think it kind of relates a little bit to Evelise's word, sunrises, you know. And the word was anew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, you know, God is the God of new. And he gives us a new day every day. He gives us new mercies. He wants to do new things in us and through us. So anew is great because it lets you let go of the past. And oftentimes we let the regrets of the past or the mistakes of the past weigh us down. When God's saying, you know, listen, forget the past. I'm doing something new. I love it.
I love that too. This one says, this is Lori. Last year, my word is running, as in hit the ground. And he definitely has lived up to that. And this year, the word is warrior, as in prayer warrior. What do you say?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, warrior was my word in 2018. So I have a lot of experience with that word. That actually birthed a business that I own and a whole bunch of things that I do. But that year, okay, the reason I picked warrior was because throughout the Bible, first of all, in Exodus 15, verse 3, we learn that the Lord is a warrior. So there's this characteristic of God that he is a warrior. That's a component of who God is. So naturally, I think many of us are going to desire to be warriors. But what I learned was this. I read the story of David, and it talked about his mighty men. And the last verse in the mighty men was, there were 37 mighty warriors in all. So that year, the way I kept that front and center was I used the number 37. In fact, if you see any of my stuff, I usually have the number 37. Somewhere, because it reminds me to have the heart of a warrior, which is loyal, faithful, and true. to have the physicality of a warrior, meaning I need to take care of my body in such a way that I'm ready for challenges, that I'm ready for conflict. And my mindset, I had a warrior's mindset, meaning I wasn't going to let negativity, doubt, and fear ruin what God is asking me to do. So I'm excited about that word for him, especially following up after running.
Wow. That's so fantastic. You're going to have to come back next year, friend, and say, this ministry was birthed, or I wrote this book, or what happened out of that? That is so fantastic. Anybody else having fun today? I'm having a blast. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll read some more words. This one just came in bold. I love that. And again, I have so many to read. I hope I can get to all of them. Jimmy Page is my guest today. This little hardcover book, we got a book bundle, four book bundles to give away. One word that will change your life. And it's this little hardcover book that you could go through like on a day retreat where you just spend time with the Lord. And we're going to get to it. I pray we do. The process of choosing your word. You prepare your heart. You discover your word. You live your word. And they're adding in this amazing one-word journal. It's this weekly journey of life change. So you're keeping the word before you. And I opened it up and just saw how I can put my word into action by. And that's accountability. I mean, to weekly think about that. I'm going to align my life this week. Or I'm pursuing more this week, which means I have to level up. And I think it's just amazing to keep that word in front of you. It gives vision. And it helps you have some restraint to go, I'm going to give no's a lot of weight because I'm giving my yeses so much weight because I've heard from the Lord and I'm running this race to win. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. We have a guest on that we have on every year this time of year, Jimmy Page, to talk about your one word. What's your word for 24? What's your one word? Have you discerned it yet? Have you figured it out? One of the reasons we love bringing Jimmy on is not only does he help you expand if God's already given your word, just to help you think on a deeper, bigger way about it, like what it might mean, or to help you discern the word if you're having a hard time with that. Go ahead and text in if you've got your word or if you're struggling to find your word. 877-933-2484. Plus, we've got a book bundle, four book bundles actually to give away, thanks to Jimmy's ministry. This little hardcover book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. It's like a day retreat book to just kind of help places where you can write down your thoughts, but he has you take inventory of what God is saying so you can kind of discern your word. And then what I love is this one word journal. It's your weekly journey for life change. And I'm actually going to use this because I think keeping that word in front of me week by week is a phenomenal idea. So you can text the word book if you want in on the book bundle drawing, 877-933-2484. So here is a text that came in. I just want to wrap my arms around this dear one. They say, my word for 24 is healing, but not just physical healing, but for a healing with issues of my heart. Because life flows out of my heart. Destructive thoughts come from an unhealed heart, which kind of causes a domino effect of heartache. And that's what I want most for my word of healing, ready to be healed and to be powerful for God's kingdom. First of all, I want to thank you for your bravery and your courage. And you're praying absolutely in alignment with God's heart for you, because that's what he wants for you. Jimmy, what would you say to this dear soul?
Well, gosh, it's so funny because just earlier today I had a conversation, a very brief conversation with my pastor who I've been after him to select his word for the year, and his word for the year is heal. And so I had to call him. He texted it to me. I called him, and the insights are this. Wounds from the past, unhealed, unaddressed, buried, covered, whatever you want to say about them, directly affect present tense and future. And I said to him, you know, like, you don't want to let the wounds of the past, you don't want to let the hurts of the past affect your present day and affect your future. So I love that healing is such a rich word, of course, because God is the healer, right? He's the ultimate healer. He's the one that fixes things and makes things straight that can't be made straight. He's the one that heals things that no psychology or positive thinking can address. He's the one who identifies most with the pain you've had, with the hurt you've had, with maybe words that have been spoken to you, and can actually bring final permanent healing. So I'm excited about this year.
That's
for her.
Awesome. Wow, that's awesome. Here's another one. I just want to pray for this one. It says, I found out last year that my husband of 35 years has been unfaithful, lived a double life for our entire relationship. We're allowing God to heal us both and working toward reconciliation and transformation, but it's excruciating. I feel like there's so many words I could sit with this year, but the main ones I keep hearing are linger, planted, flourish, focus, and obey. Many more in my journal, but these are ones who keep, that keep coming up. I would love just one word to walk with this year. Friend, I'm going to pray for you in a moment, but Jimmy, what do you say to this?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's heartbreaking, you know, but it's, again, unfortunately, that's not a circumstance that is uncommon anymore, unfortunately. But what I love is with God, nothing's impossible. You know, I think of Luke 1:37, with God, nothing's impossible. And I think to myself, gosh, maybe that's the word. Maybe it's possible, or maybe it's something like that. But I like all of the words. I was writing them down feverishly when you said them. I think the idea is that, you know, she's going to need grit. She's going to need tenacity. She's going to need to be hanging in there even when you don't feel like hanging in there. They're going to need that grit, that persistence. So I don't know. I think there's something in there about grit, about tenacity, about perseverance. There's something in there that's going to make her hold on when she doesn't feel like holding on anymore.
That's so good. I'm looking at, because I have the benefit of seeing the text, but planted is kind of sticking out to me, kind of like that. But, you know, blessed are those who are planted in the house of the Lord. And blessed are those who the Lord is their hope and their confidence. They are like trees planted by streams of living water, where you keep over and over again getting your hope fixed on the Lord. I'm praying, if that double life was going on that long, he's got a lot of bridge to repair. And I pray he earns your trust back. But let's say he doesn't. If you're planted in the house of the Lord, you're still going to flourish, because in Jeremiah 17:6-7, it says that your leaves will stay green. You won't fear the drought or the heat, and that you'll continue to bear fruit. So I think planted is really a good one as well. That's in her list. But
listen, I would just say ditto.
Go ahead.
I would just say ditto on that. You know, like you just said it so beautifully. In my mind, that's the word. I wouldn't even consider the other words now, the way you just framed that up, Susie. I think that's prophetic. And I think that the idea of being planted means that you bear fruit regardless of the circumstances. You know, you're digging those roots so far down that you're tapping into the living word of God. He sustains you and produces fruit, even in times that seem unlikely or hard. I love it.
Yeah. And keeping our hope on the Lord and not on man. If you look at verse 6, it says, cursed are those who put their hope in man. They're like stunted shrubs in the desert. So we really diminish our own growth when we're hoping in man. So you keep your hope in the Lord. He will not disappoint you. Wow. This dear one, who I happen to know is battling a diagnosis that the doctors say is incurable. She's holding on to faith. But she said, when I heard heal, it jumped out. She said, I also like helper. I love helping others to seek healing path. I want to discern which one or another is for me, healing and helper, she said. Any others that come to you?
Well, what I love about it is this reliance on God, right? It's this idea that in our own strength, we really can't accomplish much. In fact, God says, when you get disconnected from me, your efforts are in vain in a sense. And what I love about this dependence upon God, and I think a lot of people are coming to this place of absolute dependence on God, this surrendering to him. And when you get in that place of surrender and trust, and you're trusting that God is good, even in hard times, and that ultimately he's going to work circumstances for your good and for his glory, I think it helps you to persevere through harder times. So I just love this idea of surrendering and total dependence upon God.
Boy, that's so good. This dear one says, my word for this year is either focus or intentional. Still praying which one. Last year was rest, and that still is continuing this year as well. Focus or intentional. Do you see a distinction one way or another on those?
Well, I think in some ways, intentional is more action-oriented. You know, focus is good because you can drive your focus towards something, but intentional means you're taking active steps to do something. You're taking active steps in the direction that you are focused on. So it depends on if she wants this to be, or he wants this to be, an active word for the year. I think intentional informs everything from your relationships, how you treat those that matter most to you, to your physical health and mental well-being. So I would say it's maybe a little bit more of an active word.
Very good. Kathy says abundant. abundantly more, not meaning stuff, just what he has for me. It's been a hard 2023. So abundant is a word that's rising to the surface for her. What say you?
Well, you know, abundance is what Christ came to give. So few of us experience it, unfortunately. In fact, part of that is a correction of our mind, right? We have this scarcity mindset. We're always worried about holding on to the things that we have. But this idea of abundance means abundant generosity. It means abundant forgiveness, abundant love. I think abundance means that you have more than you need and you can bless others. So I love that word.
That's so good. A number of people wrote in joy. What about that one?
Oh my gosh. Well, people are exhausted, right? Like,
yeah.
I barely have to just go to Sprouts or a local store and you just see people carrying these burdens and this weight, and they're tired, and you know, and we're heading into an election year, which just is a disaster for all of us, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just bad news. There's a lot of conflict and uncertainty around the world. So joy means, regardless of the craziness that's going on in the world or the chaos, we can walk in freedom in that. We can have this sense of, you know, people talk about happy and joy being different things, and of course they are. Joy means you're happy regardless of circumstances, so to speak. But that happiness is a deep, satisfying feeling, and it's a certainty in God's goodness, even though things might not look very good on the outside.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, a lot of people kind of poo-poo happiness, but there are, if going back to the Greek and the Hebrew, the happiness and joy do overlap in Scripture, and there's a good case to be made for happiness, you know, so
yes.
I love that.
Well, it was
that.
Almost my word for the year. That actually was almost my word for the year, happy.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
And I thought people would poo-poo it, like you said, like they're going to say, oh, you're so, you know, you're so shallow, you want to be happy. I'm like, no, I actually want to be happy. I think we do poo-poo it, and I think God does care about our happiness. I really do. Not, you know, it doesn't mean your life's going to be easy or simple or always happy, because there's suffering and hardship and challenges, but I do believe that, I believe God's happy.
Yeah, he's in a good mood. I mean, there's a joyful assembly around him right now as we speak. And as we go to break, remember, he invented belly laughter, lemonade stands, cannonballs in the water. That was, you know, every good gift comes from him. He's a good God. Okay, as we go to break, we've got a number of others coming in. Bold, magnify, grateful. These are great, great words, friends. Keep them coming. Text me your word for 24, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world. And right now, there are children in desperate need of Jesus, in desperate need of food and medical care. This is your time to become their champion, to change their life. When you sponsor just one child, you plant seeds of hope in their heart, and you work together with people on the ground to change the families, communities, and the future for these children. You might not be able to change the world, but for one child, you can change theirs. Would you prayerfully consider sponsoring a child today? You can meet the kids and find your child at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a really fantastic day. We're having a great time here on Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend Jimmy Page. I love this show. Every year I look forward to it. We get him on at the beginning of the year, and we draw from his book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. It's a little hardcover book. It's like a day retreat. You take some time with the Lord, and you take some inventory, and you seek God. You look in, you look up, you look out, and you ask God to show you what should that one word be. Why do we need a one word? Well, it's such a great way to get a revelation from God about this next year. What do you want me to focus on? And what's kind of the lens through which you want me to see life? And there's this accompanying journal, the One Word Journal. So I'm looking at the journal now. So weekly, let's say you have your word. My word is more. What areas of my one word matter do I need the most? Physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, relational, financial. So that calls me to look at my word on a multifaceted level. And I will put my one word into action by... And then you write your journal entry. I will impact others with my one word. Maybe I'll encourage people more. I've been trying to do that. So we've got four book bundles to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. 2484. I see so many good words coming in here. Anchor, vision, redeemed, trust. But this dear listener texts in, and we only got about 4 or 5 minutes left. She says, Susie, I don't have a word. How do I get one? So we touched on this earlier, but I want to give that instruction because I think plenty are feeling that way. Let's give us a quick synopsis of this process of preparing your heart and discovering your word. Questions you need to ask yourself, like, what do I need? What's in my way? What needs to go? So go ahead and give it to us, Jimmy.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because what we've discovered over time is that kids, you know, those kind of under 12, 13 have the easiest time with this. Right? Because they don't have all the distractions or the worries of the world or the pressure that a lot of us as adults are facing. So they find this process very, very intuitive and very easy. Because of that, we wrote a kid's book called One Word for Kids, and it's illustrated, in fact, with a lot of the words you just listed: brave, strong, kind, loving. But the process is so simple. But as adults, we need to slow down long enough to contemplate, to really say, okay, Lord, if there was one single word this year that if I focused on it and it changed me in a substantial way, what would that word be? What do I need most? You know, what are the things in my life that are preventing me from becoming my very best? What are some things that you might want to change in me to make me reflect the love and joy of Christ? And if you stop and you just listen, God will bring a lot of answers to that. And what you'll see is you'll start to see some patterns. But it is going to take a little bit of time and intentionality. Not much. Believe me, it takes 49 minutes to read the book. It takes maybe another 49 minutes to just sit quietly and go through this process. But the first step is to ask God, boy, if you could change me in one dynamic way, they would have the greatest positive impact on myself and others. What would it be? You kind of intuitively know, like, I look at some relationships like, well, I could use a better, like some things in my marriage need some help. What if I was more patient? What if I was more kind? What if I was more intentional? All of a sudden I'm writing words feverishly. That's how you prime the pump for this process.
That's so good. Okay, I want to look at these three questions as I'm watching the clock count down here. But number one question you ask, what do I need? So what are the areas in your life that most need change and why? Think about that. What do you need? What areas most need change and why? What's in my way? So what are the obstacles to personal growth? Are you in your own way? Is your narrative in your own way? Maybe something else. And then what needs to go? So preparing your heart, say a word if you would about just, like you said, you can read the book in 49 minutes. I think even taking a half a day to spend with the Lord and take your time, you might so enjoy that. I think God would just love to meet you there. But prepare your heart. What does that look like?
Well, it's funny because everybody kind of hears from God in different ways, right? I personally hear best from God when I'm, it's going to sound crazy, but when I'm exercising, you know, when I'm on my bike or I'm on the treadmill or I'm out walking the dog, like I hear most clearly from God in those moments. Sometimes, you know, my co-author, Dan, he sits down and has a quiet time. He's got his Bible out, his journal, maybe something from Oswald Chambers, and he's asking God for his word while sitting at his desk doing his quiet time. For me, I love to be outside in nature moving. I don't know if it's just better oxygen to my brain, but it's certainly less distractions. Whatever it takes for you to get in a position to listen to God, to ask God for insight and to then listen, where you're not distracted by your phone, technology, the latest show on Netflix, whatever it is, or chaos of your home, you've got to get to that place. And I recommend that for everybody. You've got to find that place where you can quiet your spirit and really listen to God. That's the key. Mm,
so good. Sherry asked to repeat the three questions. So I'm going to do this again. So that these come from Jimmy's book, One Word. What do I need? So what are the areas in your life that most need change and why? What's in my way? So what are the obstacles to personal growth? And then what needs to go? And I love, Jimmy, how you were saying, you know, what do I need in my relationships? More intention or patience or kindness. Well, suddenly you start writing those words down and God may highlight intention is your word or whatever. So I think that is really powerful. And I think of even Evelise, your wife, and cancer survivor. She's launched this massive ministry for people battling with cancer. She's taking on so many Goliath type battles. So for her to sit and be intimate with God and and look at sunrises. To me, it's like she's starting her day and her year off in a way going, Jesus first. The fact that he makes things new, I'm seeing that first. And that is grounding to me, just thinking about that. That's why I love this show when we have you on, because I feel like people are hearing each other's words and it's spurring on faith, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. And you know, starting the day that way, it's so funny because my tendency is to want to jump into the day. Her tendency is to want to fill her cup first. And she wins like all the time. She wins big. She gets divine insight where I'm struggling and she's like, hey, well, you know, if you'd started your day a little different. And then I'm like, oh, thank you. You
know? I love it. That's why she and I get along so well. Yeah. Well, Jimmy, I don't want to wait till next year to have you on. So let's get you back again for another conversation about something else. Maybe we've talked about this before. We've never done it, but we got to get you on for a half year check-in. That's what we should do, friends. Get them on in the summer and let's all check our words and see how we're doing. But we love you and we appreciate you, Jimmy. Thank you so much for the time today.
You bet. God bless you.
Bless you. And greet Evelise from me. Thank you, friends, for tuning in today. What a fun show. Thank you for chiming in on your words. We pray for you all the time. So keep on keeping on. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.